Good evening.
Good evening.
For those that may not remember me, I'm Eric Doolittle from out of Louisiana.
Thank you.
All right.
I am definitely pleased to be here with you all. Sometimes with the last few years, it's sometimes seemed to be a question of how freely we would be able to gather.
Yes.
But the Lord has been able to allow us to come out. We were able to make it out last August, I believe. We were able to make it out this August.
Praise the Lord.
I have a thought I'd like to share with us today. A good day.
Amen.
We just sung a song about saints gathering home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a good day?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But now let's think about our normal day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. What would you call a good day? What are the characteristics of a good day?
There's a song, a secular song, that says everything's going my way.
Yeah.
But that's everything, not always good.
Everything's going my way.
Right. Yeah.
That could be a good day.
Maybe.
Have we ever had days though where we thought, Lord, I don't know about today.
Yeah.
I don't see anything in it. I feel like everything's gone wrong.
That's not a good day.
Is it?
No.
So I want us to start off, we're going to take a little trek through some time in the Bible, starting off in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, starting off in verse 15. It says, "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Pharaoh, ye are idle, therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto him, The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.
Oh, Lord.
Is this a good day or a bad day?
Mm. Oh, Lord.
So that's a bad day. For them?
For them? We would probably say it's a bad day for them. How many times have you read this story in the Bible, though, knowing what's coming? Knowing that this was happening so that God could set a mark against Pharaoh. God was, this appears to be a bad day to our human side.
Yes.
But what is God really doing?
He's working it out.
I am setting up the good day.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
And he does.
Uh-huh.
So now let's go on over to Exodus chapter 14. Starting off there in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Mm-hmm. Now, I hadn't really read this passage before. It's been in the Bible. I know I've claimed to have read the Bible before. And sometimes you just like, I don't know if I was dozing through those verses. But we know the children of Israel got there and they camped by the sea. And they saw the Egyptians coming up behind them and the sea in front of them. And what kind of day did they claim to be having right there?
Oh, Lord.
It's a bad day. We're trapped. We're going to die. Why'd you bring us out here to die, Moses?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord.
Why did Moses tell them to encamp there? Was it a random encampment?
No.
The Lord said, I want you to camp here.
Yeah.
That's right.
What was a bad day was a direct result of God saying, I have a plan.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And I need you here.
Yeah.
So that I can show you how big I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many of us like been in those spots?
Mm-hmm.
When he puts us in the encampment, if you will, between the enemy and the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever found yourself in those spots in life?
Oh, Lord.
Saying, Lord, it's a bad day for me. I need
you.
God, make a way, though.
He does make a way. So let's drop on down to the 26th. Verse in the same chapter here. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea.
My Lord.
And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
Yeah.
Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So the end result of all of those bad days, as we might have looked at them if we'd have been there in their shoes, was actually good days because they were preparation for that victory.
That's right.
Like the Lord.
The Lord had to get the Egyptians, dare I say, arrogant enough, excited enough to want to follow them into the water, feeling like they were about to get the upper hand.
Yeah.
The Lord's like, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I'll let you feel that successful.
That's right.
But wait till in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The morning was totally different for the Egyptians, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was not a good day for them.
Not a good day. But for the children of God?
Good day.
A very good day.
Yeah.
So let's go now to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Familiar story, I'm sure, to all of us, or at least most of us probably. Daniel 3, starting in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the fire furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Good day or bad day?
It's going to turn into a good day, though.
Yeah, but just think about it from the eyes of those three men right there.
Yeah.
You've been carried into the furnace. You've been bound up.
Wow.
You're now dropped into it, and the men that carried you in are dead.
Yeah.
Good day or bad day?
Mercy, Lord.
Amen. Bad day.
I'm going to challenge us to think about things a little differently. What did the Hebrew children tell the king before this happened?
What
We're not careful to answer
you. We're not careful to answer you, King.
Uh-huh.
Because
if he saves us.
If he saves us.
Good.
Good.
And if not.
But if not, where were they going to be?
They're not going to serve them gods. They're not going to bow down to them.
They weren't going to bow down to gods. Why? Because if we do, we won't make it to heaven. But if you kill us today, okay, we're home. We are going to be in a better place than anything you could ever have, King.
That's right.
Amen.
We're not careful to answer you. And if he happens to save us, you will know we serve a true God.
Yeah.
It's still a good day either way. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about it like that? It was a good day either way. We're either going to be in heaven, or we're going to have a story to tell our grandkids that's going to ring down through the ages. We're still reading about it.
That's right.
And we're still reading
right.
about it.
Amen. That's right. Isn't that wonderful?
But at the moment, can you imagine if that was you? The knot in your stomach? We know Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. His flesh recoiled.
Mm-hmm. And the fire's real.
The fire's real. Those men that were carrying him in didn't fake their deaths. They died.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep reading here, starting at the 24th verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And we keep reading down there in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
Yeah.
Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
Yeah.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good day or bad day?
That's a good day.
Yeah. Do you realize it's the same day they started out in the fire sand? That's the same day they were in the furnace.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen.
It's easy for us when we read these stories.
Uh-huh.
To feel positive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we know what's coming.
Yes.
What about in your personal life?
Oh, Lord.
Do you ever get the feeling that I'm in the furnace, Lord?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm afraid. I feel like I'm gonna be taken out. Death's around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Persecution's around the corner. Our world's in a crazy state, people.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You haven't paid any attention to any of the news lately. But you know what? We don't have to look at that.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
What does the Bible say when you get fearful?
Right.
Lift up your eyes.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Redemption
draws nigh. When redemption draws nigh, what kind of day is that?
Uh-huh.
A good day. Let's go to Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah chapter 24, starting in verse 3. Says, Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eye upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. Uh-huh. And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Now we have the good figs and the bad figs.
Yeah.
And we see from this prophecy, the good figs were going to be saved.
Uh-huh.
The bad figs were going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And so he put the good figs off into captivity. Good day or bad day?
Good.
Amen, brother. He said good. The thing is, if you think about it, we can look at things sometimes through our earthly eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
If we were told today that we had to be rounded up and sent to some other country.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, it's because the Lord is trying to save you as a people. Would your thought initially be, oh, okay, yeah. Would your thought probably be like,
No.
Now, put yourselves in the case of the Israelites.
Yeah.
The chosen people of God.
Yeah.
Being told that, to save you, I am going to take you captive out of the promised land I gave to you. Because the ones that stayed, that's what they held on to. That's what they kept hold. But this is the promised land. The Lord said he was going to deliver us and protect us here. And the Lord said, I will protect the people. But you guys are deluded, and I'm going to let you find out how deluded you are.
Yeah.
So the ones that clung stubbornly to their heritage, to their, I'm going to just call it rote practices, maybe, because they didn't have the heart in it properly. What did it say would happen to them? Driven all through the kingdoms of the earth? Hunted with the sword, with famine, with pestilence? When you really read the whole prophecy, you know what? Captivity at the Lord's command doesn't sound so bad, does it? If you read it, when they went to Babylon, they were told, build houses. They weren't really treated as the captives we might think. They were able to own property, to hold down jobs. All they had to remember was that the Lord also said, because I'm going to bring them back.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And these are going to be my people, and they will worship me again the way that I want them to.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes we do have to keep our eye out that, what is it? One day is as a thousand years?
Yeah.
And a thousand years is one day?
Yeah.
God's timing will prevail. So let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. And starting off in verse 7. Now this is Elijah, and it says, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.
My Lord.
Good day or bad day?
Bad day.
Hey, this one's good too. But think about this poor woman. It says, now God tells Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you.
Yeah.
Does this sound like the widow woman knew that?
No.
No.
Elijah gets to the city and the Lord's there, she is.
Uh-huh.
Elijah says, okay, can you give me a drink of water? Well, yeah. I'll go get you a drink of water. Well, while you got it, can I get a cake too?
Uh-huh.
And what was her response?
I don't have
a whole lot. I was just gathering some sticks because I was going to take what little bit of flour and oil I had, make a cake for me and my son to eat, and then we were going to die.
Oh,
and now you're wanting my cake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good day or bad day. Have you ever had something you held on dearly to? The Lord says, you know what? I want that.
Yeah. Yes.
You feel like it's absolutely vital for you to have, and the Lord says, I still want it.
Yeah.
Abraham had that happen to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen.
The Lord told him, your son Isaac, I want you to offer him up. The son of the promise. But if we keep reading here, this story, after she said that, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days.
Thank the Lord.
And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail,
praise
according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah.
Thank the Lord.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moving in faith.
Yes.
Human wisdom would tell you that if all you've got is enough ingredients for one cake,
that's
all you got ingredients for.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But then the Lord comes on the scene. And I've pondered this. This is pure speculation on my part. There's nothing in the Bible that can back this up. But I wonder if she went in there to make that first cake. Did she try to make the parts smaller?
Yeah.
Well, I'd sure like to have some of that cake left, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll make really small cakes.
Uh-huh.
At least we'll have a bite before we die.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think she said, you know what the prophet said?
Yeah.
That this oil and this flour won't run out.
Do you believe it?
That's what he
said. So I'm going to make him a cake.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour all the flour in. I'm going to put all the oil in it. We're going to make it right. And then when she got done, she peeked back in that flour container and peeked back in that little pot of oil and saw what was in there. You know, I suspect it never got more than what she had to start with.
Yeah.
Because it didn't say it was going to be a full pot, a full cruise.
No.
It just said it won't fail. When you go to get something out of it, you will have something come out of it.
Praise
Isn't
Lord.
That a blessing?
A good day.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But it could have been a scary day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go on over to Acts. Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Good day or bad day?
Bad day.
I mean, you start off, you deliver a woman of the spirit.
Yeah.
From a ministerial work, looks like the day started off pretty good, didn't it? But then you're, what did it say, drug up in front of the leaders?
Yeah.
Accused, beat, stripped.
That's a bad day.
Thrown into prison, and then not just thrown into prison, but drugged to the very central part.
Yes.
To where the worst of the worst people are, and locked up there with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Yeah. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took him the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Praise the Lord.
Good day or bad day.
Thank the Lord.
That's a good
day. You notice how Paul and Silas, while they were having what we would call a bad day, I find it striking that their view of it was completely different, wasn't it?
Yes.
Here we are, beat, stripped, accused of wrong, thrown in prison with the worst of the worst. And they're like, "Lord, it's a good day." Because all of this has happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many of us would, and it's a challenge for me when I think of this, how many of us would have the ability to say that? But you know what I think Paul and Silas were thinking of? What did Jesus say would be some of the way his followers would be treated? As men have treated me this way, you're going to get it too.
That's right.
Oh Lord.
And Paul and Silas were sitting there thinking, "Lord, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
It's a bad day in the eyes of the world, but if we are getting treated like this in your name, you told us if we were following you,
we would
have days like this."
Yeah. Yeah.
So we must be in the path.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And guess what? If you're in the path of the Lord, is it a good day or a bad day?
Good day.
It's always a good day.
Yes.
It's a great day.
And they're like, "Lord, we did a work in your name. We're persecuted for it, reviled for it, beat for it. Thank you, Lord."
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I can tell you, I've been challenged with this study, folks, because it's sometimes hard to remember that in the midst of it.
It is, yes.
And not only were they were singing and praising, it said the prisoners heard them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, when the earthquake hit, what do you think kept the other prisoners from running? Have you ever considered that part of the story? Because Paul and Silas says, "You don't have to kill yourself, sir. We're all here."
Yeah. And that was blessed.
You know what? It said those prisoners heard him praising and singing.
Yeah.
They're rejoicing in what should have been a bad day, I think, piqued the curiosity of everybody's mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And when the earthquake hit and everybody realized they were free, I think they all understood this is connected to those two guys.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And rather than run off, let's stick around and see what's going to happen. Because something different is happening here.
Yeah.
Something new that we're not that familiar with is showing a power.
Yes.
That's right.
And because of that, a man was saved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
And his whole house.
Yes.
And I pondered how many of those prisoners eventually down the road that we don't have record of, because of these events, eventually also found the Lord.
Praise God.
Good day or bad day?
Good day.
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful day.
Sometimes, and Lord help me, to remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to look at our days from the point of view of heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord help us.
Now let's go to John, starting in chapter 19. John 19, starting in verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Good day or bad day?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, here you are. From Christ's viewpoint, he started the day out.
Yeah.
Brought into a sham trial.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And now he's dead. Mm-hmm. And you're a follower of his, and you watched him poke his side. You know he's dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's over. It's finished. You heard Jesus himself say it.
Well, the best
yes, he did.
You know, if you're looking at that story with the wrong way, you can think that's a bad day.
Bad day.
It's a great day. All of us.
Let's go ahead and read the first two verses in chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid them." Good day or bad day? Just 3 days ago, you saw him dead on the cross.
Good day.
Now they've hidden the body.
Good.
How would you feel if you didn't have the understanding? If you were struggling with some of it? But because we have the understanding, guess what? We can look at it and know what she thought was happening. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
The body had not been hidden. They couldn't find it either. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Resurrection.
Yeah.
He had come out of that grave.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
It was a good day.
Yes.
A wonderful day.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, if we go back now and start reading in chapter 19 and verse 28, "And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and bowed his head, and gave up the ghost."
Yes.
And when we understand it from that perspective, that the scripture might be fulfilled, the plan put in place from the very beginning, even before the world existed.
Yeah.
That was this day.
Yeah.
Was it a bad day?
Oh, Lord.
Why did it say Jesus went to the cross? Because of how terrible it was going to be? Or was there a statement about for the joy that was set before him?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Consider that statement.
Yes.
To go through a day like that for the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
Because Jesus knew this is a day for eternity.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord.
If I can follow the plan of my Father on this day,
souls will be born.
Get to the point where I can tell him it's finished, Father.
Yeah.
Best day ever.
Yeah.
It's the day we all look back on.
That's right.
It's the day we hang our hope on.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a good day.
Mm-hmm. Good day.
Yeah.
Great.
So I want to challenge us all in your lives.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Take a good hard look at your days.
Mm-hmm.
And be prepared. Lord, help me to see the joy.
Amen.
The joy on the other side.
Amen.
You know, Jesus prayed how many times in the garden? 1 15-minute prayer was all it took for Jesus, right? He knew how to pray, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have any problems getting his prayers through, did he?
No.
But he still had to pray multiple times that night.
Yeah.
Why? His flesh said, this is a bad day. Uh-huh. I'm about to go into a very bad day.
Oh, yeah.
My flesh knows this.
Yes.
Do you know why he went through a bad day in the flesh?
For us.
So he can advocate for us.
Yeah.
So he can say, Father, I want you to have mercy on this child.
Uh-huh.
I understand a bad day.
Yeah.
I understand what they're potentially drawn back from. You sent angels to strengthen me, Lord. Send your spirit to those.
Thank you.
They're part of mine. And you've said, what's mine is yours.
Yes.
And you wouldn't let me lose one. Strengthen them.
Yes.
I want to challenge all of us to look at our days in a different light.
Yes.
To not let the fear of what's going on in the world around us, the fear of things that could come, we cannot control the future.
Yes.
Amen.
God knows the future. He can control it. He can do things with it. He can change it if he wants to. But we have to stay true to him, just like the Hebrew children.
Uh-huh.
They told the king, we don't know the future, king.
No.
We don't.
No, we don't.
But, king, we know
no
you have the power to kill us.
Uh-huh.
We know that. And you know what they were doing? They were submitting to it.
Yeah.
I pondered that. They didn't run and hide.
No.
They didn't bow up and try to get weapons and defend themselves.
No.
They just said, King, if the Lord wants us to fall before you, so be it.
Yes.
If that's his will for this day.
Yeah.
But if not,
we will not, sir.
You'll know.
Yeah.
You'll see something you haven't seen before, and the king saw something he hadn't seen before. Our lives,
praise the Lord,
if we are following Jesus, are not our own.
Yes.
There's things that we will face, and sometimes we may face things that we're like, well, other people don't have to go through that. Have you considered Moses? Why was Moses told he couldn't go into the promised land? Because he made a rash statement.
Yeah.
Once.
One time.
And the Lord said,
you
can't. Moses was told he couldn't enter the promised land before the children of Israel were.
Uh-huh.
And how rebellious were they?
Oh, Lord.
You know that to him who's been given much, much is going to be required.
Yes.
To him that's given little, little will be required. Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't want the person who's got a little to not have more. The Lord, I think, would have loved to have had a camp full of Moseses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sometimes, can you imagine what stories we would have had in the Bible if that would have been the case?
Yes, Lord.
But instead, Lord. Moses dealt with things that the Lord said, you're unique. I've got a special walk for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, even though Moses knew he wasn't going into the promised land, did he stop trying to get there? He took the children all the way up to the border.
That's right.
cross, right?
Yeah.
I said, I can't cross, but you guys are right here.
Yeah.
Right over there is where you need to go.
Uh-huh.
And then the Lord took him up into the mountain, and the Lord did do what? Here's the land. I'm going to let you see it.
Yeah.
You know, it may seem like the Lord was upset with Moses, and he was.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have taken action if he didn't feel like it was necessary. But he didn't cut Moses off.
Amen.
And even then, the day that Moses couldn't go over into the promised land and he knew he was never going to go in,
yeah.
Was that a good day or a bad day?
Great day.
Great day. Because while he didn't get to go in, he saw it,
yeah.
And then he went to heaven.
Uh-huh.
It's a good day.
And if we forget about the whole picture of our lives, we can get too focused on what's here.
Yeah.
What's right now.
Yeah.
And we forget the end of what we're trying to do. Where are we trying to go?
That's right.
Are we living our lives so that no matter what, at the end, it's a good day?
Yes.
Y'all pray for me.
Praise the Lord.